Hello everyone and welcome to Liverpool Echo's latest Everton podcast with Everton editor Greg O'Keefe and tipster Tony Scott. Sort of a couple of days on from deadline day where we sort of dissected the ins and outs and the movement on deadline day in the summer as a whole. But, you know, didn't really get a chance to sort of speak in any great length about two signings that were made on Tuesday. Greg, I'll start with you, mate, and Aaron Lennon's back. How would you sort of sum up the feelings about Lennon returning? You know, are you happy? Are you underwhelmed? Are you, you know, just tell me how you feel about his return.
I think part of the reason you didn't see people getting incredibly excited about his return was because, as we discussed in the last podcast, there was a lot of disappointment, and there probably still is, over the club's failure to sign a number 10. I think that's a little bit unfair on Lennon in particular, because he was a useful member of the squad in the second part of last season. He's, you know, as Leighton Baines and the manager said, brought so much hard work, graft, and sort of led by example in that way, combined with his pace, which is two really useful attributes that most teams in the Premier League would, I'm sure, be pleased to have. You always do wonder why a club like Tottenham, who Everton are competing on, are happy to let a player like him go off the books, and they've been happy for a while. They made it quite clear that, you know, Pochettino doesn't want him in his plans. So it makes you sort of slightly concerned. But then, you know, he did, like I say, did a good job at Goodison last season, and I think he's a solid addition to the squad. I do believe he makes the squad stronger. Forgetting about the number 10, because, you know, everyone knows what we feel about that, or what I feel about that. I'm pleased with the signing, and I hope that he'll remind the Blues of, you know, just what he's about in the next coming few months.
Tony, obviously, he made an impact. He was, you know, he immediately sort of struck up a rapport with the Everton fans when he was on loan, and he made it clear he wanted to come back. So that's all positive. That's a good thing, isn't it?
Yeah, of course. He's a workaholic, and that's what Everton fans, when they're paying the money through the turnstiles every Saturday afternoon, that's what they want to see, a bit of graft. And if you're picking your Kevin Morales or your Aidan McGeady's at Everton, you're stupid, really, because this lad's got to be a shoo-in on the wing. The trouble is with Everton that they've got too many wingers now. So you've got five of them there competing for two spaces, and Roberto Martinez isn't fond of playing two wingers, as we know, so he could be aware that there's five of them competing for one of them, so one of the spaces. So yeah, I'm happy with Aaron Lennon. He's as he says, he's come on leaps and bounds since he's come to Everton. New lease of life, and yeah, really happy with the sign.
Is it the end of Morales' days as a sort of winger, if you like? He's always said that he prefers to play behind the striker. Is this going to be his chance? We've seen him do it, you know, on the odd occasion for Everton. I always think he's looked more effective on the left wing, cutting inside on his right foot, actually.
Right,
but
will
he get his chance now? I don't know.
I mean, the difficulty is, but obviously, you know, the manager wouldn't say it's a difficulty because he's got options, but De La Feu's coming into form, fitness, and, you know, he's devastating on the right. He could probably play on the left. He's a talented lad, but so he's getting crowded down there, isn't he?
For me, Morales doesn't do enough. No. He's a match winner. He's got bags of ability, but he just doesn't work. It's his attitude stinks for me during games. He'll just go off the boil. As I said, with Lennon, you can see him working up and down the line all day long, and I said that's what Everton fans want to see.
Well, it's interesting that, you know, during last season when Aaron came and he was making the impact, you know, Leighton Baines said to us that he was infectious and he'd almost shamed some of the Everton lads into working hard. So it's interesting about Morales that they are night and day in that respect, aren't they? And it's difficult because obviously you try to balance the fact that Morales, as we all know, is a match winner on his day.
Yeah.
But, you know,
I think you can't just rely on that.
That's what I'm saying.
Just the lad turning on when he flicks a switch.
But let's have it right. What really worries me there is Morales was hit and miss, and his work rate was up and down when he was playing, to either get himself a move to a Champions League club or to get a new deal. Now he's got a new deal.
Yeah.
Is he going to be working any harder? I don't know.
He's kind of summed it up for me at Watford, you know, a couple of days after he'd signed that new deal, and everybody's going, oh, on the back of this, he's going to be boss. He was terrible, wasn't he? Let's have it, yeah.
Well, look, I mean, we brought Tom Cleverley in on a free, and look at his work rate compared to Kevin Morales.
I think Tom's going to be a big miss, I do. But we're going to move it on then to the other signing that we sort of sealed on deadline day, Ramiro Funes Mori. Tony, put it plainly, I don't think many Evertonians know a great deal about him.
We don't. It's going to be a difficult one to spend that amount of money on an unknown centre half is quite difficult to put into perspective, but we've just got to give the lads a chance,
see what
his ability's like, and just let him bed in. But Martinez has took a big gamble on paying this amount of money on, it's Everton's most expensive defender, and he's going to be playing second fiddle to Jagielka and Stone, so it's going to be an interesting one. We don't know much about him, but it still is a big gamble.
Does, Greg, the fact that he's come in as backup initially help that bedding in process, because if he's come from South America and, you know, he's got enough adapting to life in England and to a new league, if he was going to be thrown in straight away at the heart of the defence, that would be a sort of a real ask for the lad, wouldn't it?
Yeah, it would. And I think, like you say, he's not going to be expected to go straight into the first team in an integral position of the side, which is kind of, I would imagine, very different in the Premier League than it is in South America. What I'd like to hear is when Roberto Martinez is asked about him, and this might be a little bit of a thankless kind of task, is for Martinez to underplay it, for Martinez to just say, you know, we like what we've seen, but it's a big learning curve, we brought him over, and not to be calling him, you know, as far as South American defenders, left-foot defenders go, he's as good as it gets. Yeah. Not to be really ladling hype on him, rather, because his track record with South Americans is hit and miss, to say the least. You know, Antolin Alcaraz, I've sat there and heard the manager describe him in as many glowing terms as you like. And ultimately, I've watched him play. Mm. He's had the odd moment coming out from the back, I remember that, but...
Don't forget, he spent a few quid on Barcelli from Wigan.
Well, this is it.
His Wigan's record, San, didn't score a goal.
He's paid a lot of money for him. I just hope the manager doesn't ladle even more pressure on the lad by talking him up to the hilt. He probably will. You know, it's probably a futile expectation. But let's just give him... I hope he gets a chance. Tim Vickery, the South American football expert, has had plenty to say about the lad. A bit unfair, in my opinion, because he's coming to a different league, like we say, in a different country. Tim's entitled to his opinion, and it's certainly more expert than mine on South American football. But I hope Blues just give him a chance.
Does this lad, again, we don't know much about him, but you know, from what we believe and where he's come from and the environment of Argentinian football, it is like, you know, it's intense, isn't it? Does that give him a better chance because he's dealt with huge games in that?
It's a poor country. Standard over there, isn't it? To what we believe in, is the many South American decent centre-halves made a success of themselves in the Premier League? I don't know, I can't think at the top of my head, to be honest. It's just Gabriel Hines at Man United. Comes to my head. Colaccini's half decent for... It scares me. Mm. It's a massive gamble for Everton. It's £9.5 million. Do you know what I mean? We're not talking 2 or 3 million where you can take a chance. It's near enough £10 million.
I think we all had to double take on deadlines, when it went from being a deal at £6 million or whatever it was that you thought. Do you know what? Yeah, you'll take that. To almost £10 million. Mm. And we know why. It was the player was entitled to have 50% of the fee paid, and Everton took it on the chin to pay it because he wants to get the deal done. Maybe that shows you what Martinez thinks
Absolutely,
about the lad.
Yeah.
But as Tony says, big investment, record fee for a defender. So there's already pressure on him, and now I hope he gets time. That's all I hope.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. Just quickly moving on then, obviously we're over a week wait until Chelsea, and in next week's podcast we'll sort of go into depth about that game. But obviously, you know, whenever a Chelsea game approaches, you can't sort of escape the parallels that this won't be just a big game for John Stones, but obviously Romelu Lukaku. Tony, how do you think Rom's started the season? 4 goals in 5 games. What's your feelings on his start?
I think he's done quite well. Over the games where I've seen him, when he was up front with Aruna Kone against Southampton, I thought he was brilliant. One of the best performances I've seen from a centre forward.
Yeah.
I think there was no one touching him that day. He was superb, got his goal, and he's got his 2 goals, in fact. And I think he's been brilliant on when he's supported, when he's left isolated, it's becoming a thankless task, especially at home. Mm. There's no Ross Barkley supporting him, there's no wingers. And I do really feel sorry for him. A couple of punters have made the point that when he's making runs, he's just not getting picked out. And it's just becoming a thankless task now, especially on the home games. Mm. He's just getting no service. And last week against Tottenham pretty sums it up. He got dragged off. And the next minute, the wingers come on the pitch. Mm. What was all that about?
Is that a key point then, Greg? You know, just quickly in terms of no coincidence that in 2 of the games that Everton have drawn blanks against City, they were in the game for, you know, a good chunk of it, but then Rom became isolated, and then Spurs, it was a similar situation. Is, you know, if you give him service, he's clearly going to score goals, isn't he?
Look, I know I don't want to sound like a broken record and we've got to pick our chins up and get on with it, but that's why they needed a number 10. That's why they needed a player to come and have the sort of speed of mind and feet to find Rom. Now, if you look at the way he plays with Belgium, he's got players like that in and around him, and he thrives on it. Everton are going to have to find a way to give him the service he needs, but I agree with Tony, you know, he's put in some fantastic hints of displays this season. Southampton are brilliant, and I think he will go on to score 25-plus goals this season, but we just need to get him some support.
OK, everyone, thank you very much for listening, and keep checking the Liverpool Echo website for all the news and analysis.